It's the Bob Hope Show, transcribed direct from Hollywood, with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our singing star, Margaret Whiting. Our special guest, Donna Reed. Here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you very, very much. I want to tell you we're having wonderful weather out here in California.
Oh, that smog can get pretty thick. It lifted in our neighborhood the other day, and we discovered the vacant lot next door is now called the May Company North Hollywood. The warm weather has affected everybody. The other night on Dragnet, Jack Webb was driving the patrol wagon with the top down. And it's cleaning time. Nobody likes to do much cleaning at my house except when payday comes around. And I never appreciated before how much work there is around a house or how much time it requires. You know, it took me 6 hours just throwing away some old calendars. No, but I climbed up to clean the attic and the trap door locked behind me. Finally, I leaned out of a window and yelled at a policeman passing by, "I'm Bob Hope. I'm locked in the attic." He yelled back, "I've heard your show. They should have put you there years ago." My biggest year for fan mail. My fan mail has been so heavy, I had to hire a man to help me carry it down to the post office. You'll have to get them a little faster than that. This season, just think, I've done television, movies, personal appearances. I really didn't want to work that hard, but I promised the Air Force an extra group. And you won't escape me, I guarantee you, because I'll be in every medium. I've even made a deal with Las Vegas. When you get three cherries straight across in the slot machines, I'll be the middle cherry. I'm going to take a vacation, and I need it. Other years, I've been a little tired, but this year, I'm really worried. It's the spots in front of my eyes. They're not just spots. They're audiences laughing at other comedians. You know, there's a certain amount of jealousy among comedians, you know. I used to go to sleep hating Jack Benny and Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis. Now I can't even get to sleep. I lay awake all night sneering. I didn't realize how tired and nervous I was till this morning when my son Tony insisted on walking to the studio with me. I said, "What for?" He said, "This way people on the street will think you're talking to me."
Well, folks, not many of us can take the time to visit Hollywood and the motion picture studios. So right now, we're going to show you a typical day at Paramount Picture Studios where you're going to meet some of the people who have a part in making our movie.
How do you do, everybody? I'm the studio gate man. I stand here at the gate and watch all the big shots come in the morning. Oh, here comes the president of the studio now in his Cadillac. Hey, hiya, Mr. Freeman. President always honks at me like that. Oh, and here comes a famous director in his Lincoln. And say, here comes a star you all know, Bob Hope. Hiya, Bob. He's gaining weight. From the back, you can't tell he's riding a bicycle.
I'm the wardrobe mistress at Paramount. I make all the clothes that Bob Hope wears in his pictures. I'm qualified for the job because I used to make slip covers for Buick.
I'm the talent scout who persuaded Paramount to hire Bob Hope. And since that day, I've never had to worry about money again, thanks to unemployment insurance.
I'm Bob Hope, one of the stars at Paramount. So far, I've made 45 pictures for the studio. 40 of them were smash successes, and 5 were with Crosby.
I help Bob with his fan mail, and I answer the many phone calls at his studio dressing room. Say, Bill, get that, will you? Hello? No, Bob's not in. Sorry, he's not in. Bob's not in. He's not in.
Boy, that Morris plan, they never give up. Straighten up the dressing room. Donna Reed will be here in a few minutes.
Why is she coming over, Bob?
Well, I want her to be in my next picture, and with everyone after her, I have to act fast. You know, opportunity only knocks once, Bill. If you don't grab it with both hands, somebody beats you to it, and you're left with nothing but empty, bitter memories. Hey, that'll be Donna Reed now. I've got to make a good impression on her. Come on in, Donna.
Hiya, Bob.
Hello, Donna. Entrez, s'il vous plaît. Entrez usted mi casa en das Blumenbrett haben der Garten zu. You don't mind my showing off my knowledge of languages, do you, Donna?
Well, not at all, Bob. Languages are my hobby.
Oh, then you understood what I said?
Well, certainly. In French, you said, come in, please. In Spanish, enter my house. And in German, you said, the flower pot has a geranium in it.
I'll admit my German is a little weak. The last time I ordered breakfast in Berlin, they brought me the hat check girl, sunny side up. Say, sit down, Donna, here in the comfortable chair.
Thank you.
Now, what would you like, a glass of champagne, some of this caviar, or these hors d'oeuvres? Just help yourself, Donna. You may find the hors d'oeuvres a little stale.
Gee, this is wonderful. You certainly are well-stocked, Bob.
I had an awful time sneaking the stuff out. Jack Benny searched everybody from head to foot as though we were cheap crooks.
He did?
Yeah, if it hadn't been for that, we'd be eating this with real silverware.
Bob, you told me on the phone that you wanted me to be your leading lady in your next movie. Well, I'm sorry to say...
Now, wait, Donna. I know you've got a lot of offers, but perhaps you don't know the real Bob Hope.
Mm.
You know, I'm just your type. I hear you're interested in culture and the arts, and so am I.
You are, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Rembrandt, a Picasso, or a Watteau?
No, I'm still driving a Nash Rambler.
What's your picture about, Bob?
Well, oh, you'll love the picture. In the first big musical scene, 20 beautiful chorus girls dance across the stage doing the can-can. In the next musical number, there's going to be 30 beautiful chorus girls.
What's the story, Bob?
Well, I won't know till I talk to the girl. Oh, you mean the story of the picture? Oh, yes. Well, it'll be a comedy with plenty of laughs.
I think you'd be wonderful in a straight dramatic story.
You do, huh?
Yes. It's about time you made a picture with realistic human values. Why not do a story of love, hate, greed, jealousy, passion, cruelty, lust, murder?
Sounds like fun. You know, but stories like that aren't easy to find.
Well, of course they are. Good stories are everywhere. Now, take the great artists. They all had dramatic lives.
Say, maybe you got something. Moulin Rouge was a big hit. I'll be an artist, and you can be my girlfriend. That is, if you don't mind doing love scenes with me.
Now, I'd be glad to do love scenes with you, Bob.
You would?
Yes, for one wonderful reason that you very seldom find these days.
Yeah?
Bob, you're a man a girl can absolutely trust.
Well, that's the nicest thing anyone ever said to me, and I hope I can live it down. In that case, Donna, let's try a little kiss right now.
Okay.
Well, I think we'd better rehearse that once more.
Well,
I think we'd better try it on for size, just once more.
Bob, what's going on here?
Well, I thought it was just our regular show, but it's turned into Strike It Rich. Here's with Margaret Whiting of the Capitol Platter Clan and Les Brown doing Someone to Watch Over Me, a great oldie. Come in, Magola, right here.
A little lamb who's lost in the woods. put on some steel. Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, someone once said humor's the true democracy. That's why we in America can smile when we tell the stories of the legendary heroes who helped build our country's great industries and institutions. Take the railroads. There's hardly a worker on them who doesn't know all about the greatest railroad man of them all, John Henry, who weighed 33 pounds at birth and played with a sledgehammer for a toy. When he was 12, John Henry worked in the cotton fields of West Virginia. But he wasn't happy. No, sir. He wanted to help build a new industry which is springing up. The railroad. So he got himself a job helping to dig the Big Bend Tunnel. Matter of fact, he did most of the work himself, working with a 20-pound hammer in each hand. Then a sharp character came along and tried to sell John Henry's boss a steam drill, which would take the place of 20 men. The boss offered to match John Henry against the drill. If it dug more holes than he did, the boss would buy the drill. But if John Henry won, the boss would get the drill and 500. The match was set up and the race was on. For 6 hours, John Henry made his hammer ring. For 7 hours, 8 hours, it wasn't until the beginning of the ninth hour that he showed any signs of getting tired. At the end of the 9 hours, the race was over. John Henry won, and the boss got his $500 and a free drill. All John Henry had to say was, "Before I let that steam drill beat me, I'll die with my hammer in my hand." Who was John Henry, really? He was the spirit of the men who sweated to bring the railroad to every part of America. Yes, it is a democracy which lets us tell stories of our industries, institutions, and legendary heroes with a twinkle in our eyes and a chuckle in our throats. And so long as we continue to laugh together as a people, we will live together as a nation. Thank you very much.
Oh, say, Bob.
Yes, Bill.
Rob, how did you make out with Donna Reed? Is she going to do the picture with you?
Oh, the deal is almost all set, and it's going to be a very different picture. I'm going to do the life of a famous artist.
Oh, sounds good, Bob.
Yeah, I can just see myself as an artist, even someone as great as Vincent Van Gogh. Painting, studying, turning out great masterpieces.
Paris, the end of the 19th century. Paris, the birthplace of modern art. One of the struggling young painters of this era was Vincent Van Gogh, who as a child had started out with finger painting.
Yes, I was so enthusiastic about finger painting, I couldn't stop. I went on and painted my toes and arms and legs, too.
The young artist, Vincent Van Gogh, led a drab, uneventful existence until one day, a beautiful woman came to his studio.
How do you do?
She was lovely. She had Titian hair, a Rubens head, a body by Rembrandt, and the whole thing had power steering. He looked at me and said...
Vincent Van Hope.
That's right.
You are a painter.
That's what it says in the front of my beret. What is your pleasure, mademoiselle?
I'm an American. I just bought a large home here in Paris, and I would like to buy some paintings.
Indeed. How does it happen you came to me?
Well, I had heard that most of the painters in Paris are eccentric fools and idiots. And someone gave me your name and address.
Merci.
Do you do portraits?
I have paints the Duchess of Shropshire, the Earl of Exbrook, Lord and Lady Carruthers, the Duke of Northumberland, and Mel Tremé.
Well, now, this landscape here, did you paint it?
Yes, what did you think?
Well, I must admit you've done it quite well. Your colors here, this is a very brilliant green grass.
Thank you.
Now, to get the grass so green, did you use a brush and oil?
No, just Vigoro and a spray gun.
Do you have anything more to show me?
Well, if you're looking for a bargain, I have a painting here that's damaged. A leak in the roof made the watercolors run. I painted Queen Victoria standing beside the British line, and then we had a big storm.
What happened?
It came out Lady Godiva riding a Cocker Spaniel.
I think I have seen enough. Au revoir, monsieur.
Oh, wait, don't go yet. Mademoiselle, you're so lovely. May I have the honor of doing your portrait?
Well, definitely not. Shall I tell you frankly what I think of your work?
Of course.
I think your painting establishes a new high in tawdry, flamboyant, garish mediocrity.
Gee, and I thought I wasted all those years going to art school.
Good day, sir.
Oh, wait. Where can I reach you? How can I see you again? Mademoiselle!
Oh, Vincent, I must talk to you.
Go away, Andre.
You must listen to me, Vincent. I am your best friend. You must paint again. It is 3 months now.
I can't help it. I'm in love with the American girl. Wherever I look, I see her face.
Oh, Vincent.
In the fireplace, she looks at me from the flames. In the shadows, she is there. Today at lunch, I had some Swiss cheese, and her face was in every hole.
Oh, Vincent, my friend, you must not go to pieces. You've got to paint a picture right away.
It's no use. Andre, I am too unlucky to sell a painting. All my luck is bad.
Ah, don't think that way. Look at Gainsborough. He became instantly famous with one picture, The Blue Boy.
That's what I mean. I painted that same boy, but I painted him the day before he turned blue. I had to get him on a warm day. Oh, if only I were a rich, successful artist, I could go to the beautiful American girl and ask her to marry me.
You can be famous, my friend.
How?
You could be a great success like Rubens, Boucher, Goya, if you painted women. That's what the public wants, romance.
What's wrong with the things I'm painting now?
Well, your subjects are so dull. Look at this painting here. Pickled herring peeking through an onion ring. What's romantic about that?
It is to another pickled herring. Oh, but why discuss it? Go away, Andre. Leave me alone.
Oh, Vincent, are you so in love with this American girl?
If I could only see her, talk to her.
Oh, why don't you go to her house?
I tried that. The butler won't let me in the front door. And at the back door, there's a cook and 6 maids.
Won't they let you in?
Yeah, but after I'm inside, I can never remember what I went there for. No use. She has turned me down. For me, the sun will never shine again.
Oh, Vincent, my poor friend, there is one thing you can do. Work hard. Become famous. Make her sorry that she has broken your heart.
I took Andre's advice. I painted day and night. Night and day. Day and night until my hands trembled and my eyes were two burning coals. Every time I blinked, I started a brush fire in my eyebrows. But I succeeded beyond my fondest dreams. I had paintings in the Royal Gallery, in the British Museum, and I was commissioned to do the murals for Howard Hughes' bathroom. Mob cheered as I rode through the streets of Paris. I had 6 horses, 2 coachmen, and a carriage with Cadillac fins. During all these years, I never saw the American girl. Then one day, I went to Maxime's for lunch.
Bonjour, Monsieur Van Hope.
Oh, bonjour, Francois. My usual table, please.
Oui, monsieur. Follow me.
Oh, one moment, Francois. I see someone I know at this table.
Ah, so we meet again, Mademoiselle the Beautiful American.
Why, it's Vincent Van Hope.
Oui. But I am no longer the struggling artist. Now I am one of the most famous men in the world. But I still feel the same way about you. Will you marry me?
Me? Marry you? Fool, pest, idiot, moron, imbecile.
You don't have to answer now. Think it over. You may not love me now, but I can teach you to love me.
I'm sorry, Vincent. I'm engaged to another man. This is he coming across the room toward us now.
Well, Vincent, what are you doing here?
Andre, I've been double-crossed by my best friend.
Oh, Vincent, please. She is so beautiful, I could not help myself.
But you did help yourself. This means a duel.
No, no, not a duel.
It is a matter of honor. We meet at sunrise with swords.
Vincent, I warn you, I'm an expert swordsman.
And we use pistols.
I'm an expert marksman. What do you say now?
How are you at snapping wet towels?
We meet at sunrise in the Bois du Boulogne.
Gentlemen, you are met here to settle a question of honor. You know the rules.
We.
You each have a pistol. You will stand back to back, then take 10 paces, turn and fire. Are you ready?
Oui.
Oui.
Turn and fire.
Oh, I am finished. Ah, cruel fate, that a mortal blow should be inflicted by my best friend. Even now, my sight grows dim.
Shoot me. I'm the star.
Okay.
Oh! My life ebbs from my body, and the curtain of darkness descends. Oh, to think that I shall never see my beloved Paris again. The Eiffel Tower, the Champs-Élysées, the runway at the Folies Bergère. Farewell, France. Farewell, France. What acting.
So long, Bob.
Wait, Donna, wait. Where are you going?
If that's acting, I'm going to give back my Oscar.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.